FMR's Not the Lady News on Classic Business is brought to you by 10X, the authority on wealth creation that delivers 10X your future. Well, the US election has left markets in something of a frenzy, with stocks on a sugar high, but bonds nursing a bit of a hangover, while tariffs, debt and deficits loom large like uninvited guests at the party. It's a strange, unsettling backdrop for investors, particularly for those outside the US, looking in with concern and perhaps a bit of apprehension. Well, joining me to make sense of it all is Anton Esser, Chief Investment Officer of 10X Investments, who really has his finger on the pulse of this market shift. Anton, great to have you on. Let's just start with the headline news, Trump's victory. Well, we don't want to get lost in the weeds of the election itself. Can you maybe just briefly summarize what you think this new administration means for economic policy and investor confidence?
Hi, Michael. Yeah, trying to make sense of it all. A lot going on. I mean, I think just to add to the point is obviously, you know, Trump's won the presidency, but importantly, they now control the Senate and the House. So they have a kind of a clean sweep. So that does change things in terms of what's possible from a Trump perspective in the next couple of years. But, you know, in the end, you know, we know a lot of what policy will look like in the next couple of years. He set it out. He did it in 2016, and he's been very clear going into this election around a focus on, I guess, you know, kind of really three things. Firstly, is around kind of continuing tax cuts. So it's the extension of all the tax cuts we had in 2017-18. So around corporate taxes, which are, you know, at multi-decade lows in the US, and an extension of the personal income taxes. So taxes will, you know, remain where they are, or potentially even go lower. The second thing is around immigration. He's clearly got a very clear policy around, illegal immigrants, but actually all immigrants in particular. So it's a pretty aggressive policy in terms of what he wants to do there. And then finally, it's around this critical point around tariffs. You know, he's been very vocal around imposing tariffs on China and actually also the rest of the world. I mean, he's talking around 60% tariffs on at least on all Chinese goods, and then somewhere between 10 to 50 in the rest of the world. So these were, you know, most certainly campaign slogans, but you know, the evidence in the past has been he's followed through with quite a few of these things, and now he has, you know, the presidency, they control the Senate, they control the House, so the path to getting a few of these things done is a lot clearer than what it was a week ago.
Yeah, and I think the tax one is important because I remember at the recent 10X Think Investing conference, you mentioned that was one of the important tailwinds for US equities that, you know, potentially could turn around depending on which way the election went. But that looks set to continue to be a tailwind. One just wonders for how long, because let's tackle the debt elephant in the room. The US deficit and the debt sustainability, how concerning is this for global markets? And what risks does this massive deficit pose to future growth in an environment where you've got a president who thinks he can reduce corporate taxes? And on the other side, there's been some talk of efficiency. We know Elon Musk wants to come in and be the DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency, as he's labeled it. But how realistic is that, given what we've seen in the bond market? The bond market seems really worried.
Yeah, it's look, I mean, deficits and debt, it's so much been written about this. And the point of inflection is really one which is difficult to forecast and determine. You know, it's so different through. I mean, look at Japan, 250% debt to GDP. But I think let's just take a step back and look at what's actually happened in the last 5 years. And just, I mean, if you look at the one thing that was common in both Harris and Trump was continuing increases in deficits. I mean, you know, the kind of base case for Harris was $3.5 trillion addition to the deficits, and Trump's somewhere between $7.5 and $10 trillion. But these are such big numbers. Let's just provide some context for your listeners. The U.S. From pre-COVID, so the end of 2019, the cumulative deficit that has been spent per annum. So just taking a very basic number, just adding each year's deficit up over the last 5 years, it's 45% of GDP. You know, in the last 2 years, we've been going through, you know, a pretty strong US economy. They've averaged 7% deficits. I mean, it's never happened in history where you've had a 7% deficit in a strong economy. What happens when you're in a recession or a weak economy? So yeah. it is very where we are right now, putting aside what Trump could potentially do, you know, next year and next couple of years, you know, there's a massive structural problem in what's happening in terms of revenue intake, which is 18% of GDP, and expenditure, which is 25% of GDP. There's a huge gap there that exists. And so what's happened really is the debt to GDP has just gone up and up and up. It's something like 120% to GDP. And the structural deficit is about 6 or 7% going forward for the next 10 years. Now, if a lot of these things happen, you know, defense spending, border policy, if corporate taxes, personal income taxes, you know, that number is even going to be greater. So, you know, you're looking at kind of another $25 trillion worth of debt being added to that number already over the next 10 years. And we don't really know when the bond market or foreign investors kind of, you know, take money out of the U.S. or there's a kind of a bond market crisis. It's very hard to know. But you are seeing, you know, yields, pick up in post-election. I mean, it's very interesting. It's only one day, but post-election we had equities rally, which was kind of largely expected in terms of having that result. Equity markets love tax cuts and they love deregulation. But on the flip side, you had bond yields go up, you know, 15 basis points, which half of that was in inflation expectations.
Right.
And the difference now between anything we've had over the last 15 years since the financial crisis is that we've had inflation. We've had a big inflation scare. It was actually the big driver of what happened, you know, really with this Trump victory, was that a lot of Americans were extremely unhappy about the fact that the cost of living had gone up so much and wages hadn't kept up. It was a big topic and a big theme in this election. Mm. And so inflation is real there. I mean, although we're coming a lot closer down to the 2% target, we've had this real inflation scare, and deficits have been very, very high with intention of going higher. So, you know, it's very hard to know what is the trigger. But you know, you are reaching that point right now where, you know, this is a significant issue for you know, the U.S. bond market, and then by extension the U.S. equity market, and by extension the dollar, and most certainly the rest of financial markets.
And interest rates, of course. I mean, if you're Jay Powell at the moment, we've already seen and heard the sabers rattling ahead of the election by Donald Trump. He wants to see interest rates lower. All of this seems to be stoking inflation potentially. If you look at the scenario you've just painted and throw in the fact that tariffs are inflationary as well, it looks like potentially this might mean, you know, before the election we're hoping interest rates were topping out and coming down. Are we at a point now where we need to review our expectation for interest rates over the medium term? What do you think?
I think over the short term, I mean, there's a meeting. It's today. So I think that 25 basis point cut is highly unlikely that won't happen. And then there's another 25 basis point expected in December. So I think unless we have a massive sell off in the bond market and inflation expectations in the next 3 to 4 weeks, then we should, expect that 50 basis points to happen. You know, the Fed will, you know, Powell will most certainly try not to come across as being political and follow through with what he said. And so I think it's almost a foregone conclusion that we should expect cuts, today and then, again in the last meeting before the end of the year. But I mean, beyond that, it's very tricky. I think that it's really going to be a function as to what happens in terms of, you know, the bond market. If we continue to see a kind of a steepening in the yield curve and risk premium picks up and inflation expectations pick up, then most certainly the Fed will start to reverse course and start to kind of worry about that. But it's very difficult for them to control that. With this sheer size of the deficit, how the central bank behaves and reacts to that is going to be very, very tricky. I mean, obviously they're doing an unwinding some of the quantitative easing that they've done. They're kind of trying to get their balance sheet down from the $8 trillion down over the next 12 months. That's going to be really tricky if you have a bond market which is seeing yields of 4.5%, 5.5%. As that goes up, what do they do in terms of their balance sheet? they're in a very difficult position, you know, because they really can't, you know, from here, it's a long way between here and them starting to monetize the debt again. Mm. And that monetization of the debt, I mean, you know, we mentioned the size of $35 trillion. The Fed has, you know, bought something like $9 trillion worth of bonds over the years. You know, it was very important to keep yields suppressed and to ensure there was enough liquidity in the system and there was no crowding out of the private sector. Inflation comes along. Interest rates have to go up. Unwinding of the balance sheet has to happen. And we're in that path somewhere. And, you know, if in the end we have a kind of a bond market sell-off, what do they do? It's a very difficult place. We haven't really been in a position like this before. So, but I mean, look, the tricky thing here is that the market is very euphoric, but it's in a very different place than it was when Trump came in 2016. 2016, the CAPE ratio, which is the cyclical adjusted PE in the US, was 25, kind of around kind of the last 30-year average. It's now close to 38. Real rates were zero. Now they're kind of 2.25%, depending on where on the yield curve. So like the thesis that we had at that conference that you mentioned was valuations tell us we have a lost decade ahead of ourselves in the US in terms of US equities.
Yeah.
You know, so the ability for this market to continue to rally when it's at such high levels of multiples with this huge elephant in the room, which is the government deficit, and the potential inflationary impact of tariffs, of reversing immigration, all those things are inflationary. So, you know, it may be that kind of turning point in the bond market, but let's wait and see.
So, I mean, it's very difficult to forecast these things, but in your view, does that still hold? Are we, given all of that, still looking at a lost decade for U.S. equities? And, you know, shifting gears to our local market, you did mention a couple of weeks ago at that conference that South African equities might be more attractive than they appear, despite our challenges. And does that thesis still hold?
Well, on the U.S., firstly, I mean, in terms of that lost decade assumption, you know, we didn't provide any change in terms of corporate taxes. You know, we assumed that they would kind of stay at the current level. And the effective corporate tax rate in America is around 16-17%. So it's actually incredibly low.
Wow.
So we didn't say those tax rates are going up. What we did say was that we have higher interest rates and corporates will, over the next 10 years, have to refinance at higher rates. Whereas the last 30 years, they have been refinancing at lower rates. And that tailwind just becomes a mathematical headwind. Mm, mm. And then we just fed in that, look, we had a level of multiple, which is 38. If we mean revert to a 20-year, 25-year average, you know, you go down to something like 26. You put those things into a very simple, you know, model, and it pops out kind of real returns of around zero with a band of plus or minus 2. And we're not alone in that view. I mean, Goldman Sachs actually released something, you know, a couple of weeks ago, which had a real return expectation of 0-1%, once again, based on the same methodology. So nothing here really changes it. It doesn't tell us anything about what will happen in the next 3 months. Is this a sudden market sell-off and then a bit of a reversal, or is it a kind of gradual bear market? Typically, markets do, you know, markets go up slowly and they go down quickly, but you know, it doesn't tell us anything about that trajectory. To South Africa, it's the same methodology. A lot of those, but where there were, you know, headwinds, a lot of those headwinds are no longer headwinds, or they're less headwinds, or they're neutral, and some of them are tailwinds. Valuations is firstly, most certainly a tailwind. We have very high levels of real rates, the highest we've had here in 10 years, whereas actually the whole story is a lot more positive. So even if you just take, what corporates in SA have made over the last 10 years in a very difficult economy, and you apply some kind of a valuation adjustment, you know, you're talking 7-8-9% real returns in SA. It doesn't tell us once again anything about in the next 3-6 months, but over the long term, you know, it still presents a relatively much better story than US equities.
Mm. And I think ultimately that's what we like to do on the show, is look long term. So with all of the noise and the change in today's market, what's your advice for investors on maintaining discipline and that long term focus?
So I think the probably the most important one is to just be very sensitive and aware of the highly concentrated and bubble-like valuations you have in large parts of the US market. So, you know, it's been a very strong market. There's been a lot of money made, but we're at that point now where you know, your long-term returns are looking very challenged. And then away from that, it's remaining invested. Particularly, we like the SA market. We like emerging markets outside of countries like India. So, you know, remaining invested in those growth elements. But this is the part of the cycle where defensive assets, so inflation-linked bonds, nominal bonds in certain places, but in particular inflation-linked bonds, are a very important part in the portfolio. We have the highest real yields here and actually globally that we've had in, you know, two decades. It's a time to have a defensive portfolio, to have, you know, consumer non-cyclical exposure within your equity portfolio and stay away from highly valued parts of the market. And that's what the themes are across our portfolio. It still means growth assets work, but defensive assets work very nicely at this stage of the cycle.
Fantastic. Antoine Essa, thank you very much. Chief Investment Officer at 10X Investments, with a superb analysis and breakdown of what we're currently witnessing at quite an historic time, certainly politically very difficult to tell, given how volatile Trump can be from day to day. I don't really still understand what his foreign policy is and all the rest of it. We have insights into what his economic ideas are and Project 2025, but this is certainly a market that is making all of those long-tailed cats in a room full of rocking chairs extremely nervous. That's this week's Not the Daily News here on Classic Business, as always brought to you by 10X Investments, an asset manager that provides investment solutions that deliver superior returns. 10X your future.
The Stradivarius violin is considered to be the most emotive instrument in the world. That's why you'll often hear it in investment ads, adding drama and the utmost importance to their philosophies, or for the announcement of a fancy new fund manager. 10X Investments don't need dramatic instruments to seem impressive. They let the results sing for themselves. So 10X your future without the drama. 10X is a licensed FSP.